Now we will talk about different methods of setting retail prices. There are three methods that we will talk about. The first one is a cost plus pricing method. As the name suggests, we are going to add a certain amount of profit to the cost of the product to work out a final retail price. The cost of the product is calculated and a fixed amount of profit is added to arrive at a selling price. The problem with this policy is that it ignores the prices that are set by competitors for similar products and the demand for that product. If the base for calculation of a price is the direct cost, the markup covers the profit as well as the direct. If the base for calculation of the price is the direct cost, the markup covers profit and indirect costs. But if the base of calculation is the total cost, which is the total of variable costs and fixed costs, then markup covers only the profit. Cost plus pricing method is very simple, but it is not very logical or sensible for a retailer, because he is not considering the prices that the customer is charging for that product. He is not even considering the demand, whether there is a demand for that product at that price point, whether the customer is price sensitive, or what is the demand curve going to look like if the price changes. Also, the cost price method does not question the internal inefficiencies of the retailer or producer. This means that they are simply taking the cost, adding a percentage profit to it to work out the final price. Instead of questioning, why is my cost more? Why is it that the retailer is able to charge another competitor is able to charge a lower price for the same product? Maybe the costs incurred by him are lesser, while the costs incurred by this retailer A are much more. But he is not questioning his internal inefficiencies. The cost plus pricing method can be mathematically represented by these formulae, which is: the price is equivalent to the average variable cost plus the fixed costs multiplied by 1 plus the markup percentage. Therefore, the price is a multiple of these two factors. The next method for setting price that is commonly used is the market or demand-based pricing method. It is based on the intensity of demand. What is the demand for the product? How much is the customer going to pay for this product? It is calculated by working backwards from the target selling price. So if the target selling price that the retailer has in mind is 100 rupees, probably because other competitors are charging the same price for the same product, then the retailer has to work backwards, calculate what is the cost. So this is going to be my profit, and also change the profit if required based on the demand or price sensitivity of that product. This method obviously relies on good knowledge of the consumer's price sensitivity and awareness levels. It is used commonly for products that are seasonal, where the demand varies greatly. The competition-based pricing method, the prices are based on the level of competition. The various options available to a retailer to price a product, keeping competition in mind, are these three. But first, let us understand, what do we mean by level of competition? How many competitors are there in that market? How far are they placed? Is the location of the competitor far off? Is it right next to the retailer store? All these factors will determine the price. Also, the kind of competition. If the retailer is a monopolist, he can charge any price he wants. But if he works in a perfect competition situation, then the price automatically gets determined by what the other competitors are charging or by the market. Therefore, level of competition is extremely important when setting retail prices. The retailer can price a product keeping the competition in mind at three different levels. Firstly, meet the competition. This means the retailer prices the product the same as what the competitor is charging. So the price is the same, which means competition has to then be on something which is a non-price variable. Pricing above the competitor. This means that the retailer is presuming that his target market thinks that value is equated with quality. Therefore, the retailer is pricing his product more than that of the competitor, working on the perception that quality and price are equated. Pricing below competition. This is usually used in when the retailer is following a market penetration strategy. It is adopted by a new entrant or for a new product that cannot be differentiated from another product only on the basis of quality. Let us talk of pricing approaches that are used by retailers. The multiple pricing or multi-unit pricing, it is also called as quantity discounts. This means when a customer is buying bigger quantity, he gets a certain discount on the price. Selling two or more of the same product at a unit price that is lower than the unit price is multiple pricing, also referred to as multi-unit pricing or quantity discounts. This is used when a customer buys bigger quantity, and it is used to encourage the customer to buy a bigger quantity. Selling two or more of the same product at one price that is lower than the unit price of those products if only one is purchased. This means that if you go to buy a bar of soap, which costs, let's say, 25 rupees, instead you buy a package of three bars of the same soap at rupees 70, which otherwise would have cost rupees 75. So this is the multiple pricing concept. It helps the retailer to increase the sales volume. The price bundling approach is a variation of the multiple pricing, but the difference is that here two or more different product types are bundled together and sold as one unit. So while in multiple pricing we sold the same product in more quantity, in price bundling we will sell different products that are bundled together. This method helps the retailer to increase both unit as well as value sales. A very good example is the Happy Meal that you get at McDonald's, where a number of different products are clubbed together and one price is charged for them, but the price is lower than what it would have cost had those products been bought separately. Leader pricing. This involves selling a few items at a deep discount price in order to increase traffic and sales on complementary merchandise, which means similar or complementary merchandise are placed together and one price is charged for them. This is usually used for staple or basic products that are bought together frequently. The next pricing approach is EDLP, which is everyday low pricing. It is adopted by retailers who continuously price their merchandise lower than that of competition in that area. Customers, needless to say, are price sensitive. Therefore, the retailers can follow the everyday low pricing approach. Odd pricing or psychological prices. I'm sure all of us have gone to a store, especially Bata, and seen the price of 999 written on it, and we all wonder, where am I going to get that 1 rupee change from? But that is a pricing strategy that the retailer is using. The price ends in odd numbers. It is not a round figure, but it gives an illusion of value. A single pricing or one price policy. This refers to the charging of same price for same product under similar circumstances. Dollar shops are a very good example of a single pricing approach. Now let us look at some formulae that can be used to calculate retail prices. Markup is equivalent to retail price minus the costs incurred to produce or procure that product. Markup percentage with respect to retail price is markup multiplied by 100 and then divided by the retail price. Similarly, markup percentage with respect to the cost price is markup multiplied by 100 and divided by the cost price. Retail price is equivalent to cost divided by 1 minus percentage markup on the retail price. Margin percentage is selling price minus cost price, and then this amount is divided by the selling price and multiplied by 100 so that we get the margin percentage. Gross profit, this is the total profit that a retailer is making, is equivalent to selling price minus the cost price. Net profit, it's not the same as gross profit. So net profit is equivalent to gross profit minus all the overheads that were incurred in producing that product. It is usually not possible to break down overheads, but they can be approximated. Initial markup percentage. Initial markup is the first markup for a product. So initial markup percentage includes all the costs incurred for it, which could be transportation, it could be workroom or labor cost, it could be minus any kind of cash discounts that you received on the raw materials or procuring the product or its components, plus all expenses or overheads, plus profit, plus any markdowns. This sum total is divided by net sales plus the markdown. Retail price can also be worked out by the formula of cost multiplied by 100 divided by 100% minus the initial markup. Now let us understand the concept of initial markup. It is the price that the retailer initially set for the merchandise minus the cost of the merchandise. The buyers must price a product at an initial markup that will ensure price consistency as well as achievement of all the objectives of that markup. The initial markup should always cover the various expenses or costs incurred, any markdowns that are planned or anticipated for that product. Now let us understand some different types of markups. We have already discussed what an initial markup is. Now let us understand what is an additional markup. This is the value or amount that is added to the first retail price or initial markup to equate price of same or similar goods which have been purchased at different costs. So sometimes we end up procuring the same product at different costs, and then we need to find out the markup. Cumulative markup. This is an aggregate of the markups on a group of goods with varying markup. calculating additional markup and cumulative markup. The additional markup percentage is calculated by finding out the additional markup amount, dividing it by the first retail price, and then multiplying it by 100. The cumulative markup obviously is going to be the total markup in amount or dollars on all the goods divided by total retail prices or the value of those products multiplied by 100. This can also be equated to retail value minus cost value divided by retail value of that group of products. Another type of markup is the maintained markup. This is the difference between gross merchandise cost and actual retail price. Maintained markup is based on actual prices received for the merchandise sold. Thus, it is very difficult to predict what a maintained markup for a product is going to be. Now we will talk about various adjustments that can be made to the retail price. We are all aware that price is influenced in a big way by various external and internal factors. The situation in the country, politically, economically, technologically, socio-cultural factors, the level of competition, the demand, the price sensitivity of the target customer base, all these aspects will affect the price decision. Therefore, the retailer needs to know what are these external factors and change his pricing strategy in order to adapt to the changes in the market and the selling environment. Therefore, the retailer needs to make certain adjustments to the retail price at times. There are two ways of making adjustments to the retail price. One is markdowns and the other is promotions. What is a markdown? It is a permanent downward adjustment in retail price. It is a reduction or a discount in the retail price. It is the amount by which the retailer reduces a product's original price. Okay. Markdowns are usually given because of slow selling items, or it could be part of a selling strategy. What are the main functions of markdowns? It could be managing the inventory, which means it is the end of the season. There is a lot of inventory or dead stock left over, which may not sell the next season. Therefore, the retailer is forced to put it at a discount sale or a markdown. Financial management is another objective of putting goods on a markdown. When the retailer has inventory or dead stock, a lot of money is tied up in this inventory. So, he needs to sell the inventory or stock at a lesser price in order to generate cash. Therefore, financial management can be another objective of putting goods on a markdown. Let us look at the formula for calculating a markdown. It is total markdown in value for a period of time divided by the net sales of that period multiplied by 100. The other method of making adjustments to retail prices are promotions. These are temporary price reductions. They are not permanent. They are only temporary and are used to generate additional sales, especially during peak selling seasons. High volume items with a large initial markup are often selected for promotions or promotional schemes. We have all come across many different promotional tools or schemes that retailers use. Sometimes it could be giving coupons wherein the retailer absorbs the price of the coupon and thereby reducing the price that the customer has to pay for that product. Now we will understand different types of markdowns that exist or that a retailer can give on his product. One is a promotion markdown. As the term suggests, it is in order to promote either a new product category, a new brand, or a new store also. Then the product is sold at a lesser retail price, thereby ensuring there is no profit or no loss. This can obviously only be a temporary strategy. This cannot be permanent, because otherwise the retailer is not making a profit and he cannot sustain his business. Clearance markdown is given in order to clear old stock. This may be applicable for things that are fashion items and will not sell the next season, or in case of basic or staple, it could be applied for products that have an expiry date. So if you have a juice can which is very close to the expiry date and therefore many people will not buy it, a clearance markdown is given on that product. A seasonal markdown is given at the end of a selling season in order to clear or sell any leftover excess merchandise. It is difficult to store excess inventory. Moreover, the risk of a change in style or requirements of the target customer by the time the next season arrives is also there. Residual markdown. A few pieces of the merchandise are left. The retailer wants to sell them. What does he do? In order to move them out, a residual markdown is given so that he can clear or sell the pieces that are lying with him. Damaged goods markdowns are given on goods that are slightly damaged. Usually, they do not affect the performance of the product. Sometimes the customer, being a layman, may not even be able to make out that the product is slightly damaged. Employee discounts are given to employees of that retailer for buying the retailer's products. These are also going to be a type of markdown and cause a reduction in inventory. A broken assortment markdown. What is a broken assortment? It is an assortment which is not complete, which means that the size color ratios are not there. So certain size may be missing, or certain colors and certain sizes may be missing. Therefore, the central sizes are usually sold out and the extreme sizes are left. So very often you go to a store and ask the retailer for a size medium or a size large in a particular color, but that is sold out. While the retailer has excess in certain extreme sizes, maybe a double XL or a triple XL in some weird colors, and he will try to sell them off. Therefore, he gives a broken assortment markdown. Some products do not sell well. They sell very slowly. In order to move that product faster, a slow seller markdown is given by the retailer. A late delivery markdown. When goods are received late from the manufacturer or supplier, the selling season may already be half over. The retailer knows that now he may not be able to sell the entire quantity of merchandise he has bought in that category in the rest of the selling season. Therefore, he will put the goods on a markdown. Now we are going to talk about pricing challenges that are faced by retailers today. Today, due to huge competition, retailers may use various methods of pricing, various sometimes even unethical methods of pricing. Let us understand what are their challenges. Customers today are increasingly price sensitive. They are value conscious and will look at the internet for the best bargains. The customers will look at 5 different portals, check the price that different retailers are selling the product at, and then decide which retailer or which store they are going to buy from. Pricing aggressiveness from competitors is increasing day by day. A lot of emphasis is being laid on promotions and discount sales. Price transparency has increased tremendously due to the availability of prices online. You also have software where you can compare prices online. Need to provide consistency in price across various channels. In today's world where multi-channel retailing is fast picking up, the customer has access to various channels. He can buy online from the same retailer. He can go to a physical store of the same retailer and buy. So for the challenge for the retailer is to decide the price points for different channels. Is the price of the same product going to be the same online as well as offline? Therefore, he needs to think his pricing strategy out in detail and ensure that the price is consistent while buying through these various channels. How can the retailer reduce price-based competition? There are various strategies that can help the retailer reduce price-based competition. It essentially means that the focus has to be reduced from price, and the focus has to be on aspects of non-price. A retailer should be able to distinguish his merchandise through unique product features that are difficult for the competitors to copy. Either the product is very differentiated or unique, or at least that some features of the product have to be different so that the retailers, the competitors, are not fighting on a price basis. Retailer must promote these distinguishing features to create customer awareness. So his promotion policies should emphasize on the different features that the retailer is offering to the customer. Private label merchandise is another method of offering unique features or better value than the competitors. We will discuss private label merchandise in detail in the next chapter. Store or brand positioning. When a retailer identifies a well-defined market segment, then he can position his store or product in a unique or different manner. A unique store or brand positioning will help reduce price-based competition. This means that the retailer is differentiating not only on the basis of product, but also something different or unique is being offered by that brand or by the retail store. Another method of reducing price-based competition is to use the skimming pricing policy. This shifts the focus away from using price competitively. It is effective when the product delivers a unique value and or when demand is relatively consistent. The focus on value has to be emphasized. The retailer has to ensure that he is not focusing on price. He is not saying my price is the lowest or the best. He has to focus on providing value or perceived benefits to the customer. The retailer should provide other benefits to the customer, emphasize product features, or emphasize better quality. He can say that he is giving better services. All this in order to build customer loyalty towards his store or brand. Therefore, building loyalty to the retailer and not price. The retailer has to remember that he has to build customer loyalty to his brand or his store and not to the price. Developing a long-term relationship with customer that keeps the customers coming back even when the price goes up. That is how he can counter price-based competition. Now let us look at some legal and ethical pricing issues. Today, a lot of companies use unethical methods in various aspects of running their business. Similarly, a lot of unethical pricing strategies are used. We will now understand different pricing strategies that companies use, which are unethical and should not be used. Opportunistic pricing. This means pricing based on the opportunity. Value attached to a product may be much higher than its actual cost, but the retailer is encashing on this opportunity and therefore charging a much higher price for the product. This is definitely unethical. Price discrimination. This means charging different prices for different people or different rates for different people. Some forms of price discrimination are ethical and accepted. For example, giving a lesser price for senior citizens or children. But some forms of price discrimination are definitely unethical. Here, you could have customers bargaining with the retailer, the retailer giving a certain discount or a lesser price to a certain customer for various reasons. Price fixing is where the competitors get together and decide to sell at a particular price. This means that all competitors are deciding on a prefixed price, which may be much higher than the actual price of the product. This is definitely unethical. Predatory pricing. Reduce competition by selling goods at very low prices, causing the small retailers to go out of business. So, as the term suggests, it is predatory, which means it is throwing the smaller players out of business by reducing the prices so low that the smaller players cannot sustain their retail business. Flexible pricing. Though it sounds that it is flexible and positive, but it can be unethical. It is a method of selling where customers are able to bargain with retailers on the price. This is usually used for unbranded products where the price is not marked onto the product. Price gouging. It raises price of items that are temporarily in high demand. It could mean that certain products or medicines or certain things like petrol, where the price has to be maintained so that a lot of people are able to use that or buy that product, is not being done. So definitely unethical. Price wars. I'm sure you're all familiar with the concept of price wars. It is a war between competitors, between retailers, where they all continually outdo each other. They continuously undercut each other by lowering prices. A very good example of this is the airlines. So if IndiGo reduces their prices between Delhi and Mumbai, then similarly, the very next day, all other airlines will reduce their Mumbai to Delhi flight rates. This is a price war where each competitor is trying to outdo each other. The bait and switch selling is a deceptive selling tactic. Deceptive because it deceives or fools the customer. Here, the customer is baited. The retailer baits a customer, which means attracts the customer to a low price item and then makes them to switch, which means uses pressure tactics to get the customer to buy a higher priced version or a higher priced item. This is called the bait and switch selling technique, which is definitely unethical. Thank you.